This lesson is entitled Page Layout and Design Made Simple with Andrew Jones. Brother Jones is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College, and he currently serves at Lancaster Baptist Church as the head of the graphics department and the assistant editor of the Baptist Voice. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
And so if you want to find the notes, just to give you a little bit of a preview, explanation of what I do here. My name is Andrew Jones, and I just right out of the gate, I did not go to school. I did not go to graphic school. I did not go to school to learn graphic art. A lot of people ask me, did you go to school for this? And the answer is no. I came here to the church in 1989. I was 9 years old. My parents moved here. In fact, they still work on staff to this day. I graduated from the high school and then also from the college. So I went to Bible college. I took one class that they taught on church communications, which covered what I'm going to talk to you about very briefly, and it was a help. It was a fun class. Brother Kerry Schmidt taught the class, and some of the principles I'll share today with you, he's taught me, as well as Pastor Chapel, has a great understanding of some of the principles I'll teach you today, and he's helped me and has provided the equipment and has been a great mentor. And I started working here at the church on staff as a graphic designer in 2006. So since that time, I've done a lot of different projects. But my primary job description is I work as the managing editor of the Baptist Voice, also the graphic designer. And that also goes on the web. And I think you've got that in your packet. I've done that since 2007. And it was a newspaper. And then in 2009, we went to a magazine. And it really helped. And the prices of magazines have gone down significantly since we started printing the Baptist Voice. And so that's one of my job descriptions. Also, I work as the graphics department director. And I oversee a team of people of about three or four people. One is a secretary and others who help with design. Some are still in school. And this is one of the projects I worked on was the anniversary book. I started that back really in January, really started working with the layout in March, and we had to send that to print about 10 weeks ago. It takes about 8 weeks to print, and we printed it at a company, I think, in Canada, and they shipped them out here. We printed, I want to say, 5,000 of them. It's a 212-page book, and it was a lot of work. I had a great number of people who helped with it, and so that was one of our big projects, but that's a little bit about what I do. Also, I work with the presentations in the church. If you saw the presentation last night as Pastor preached, I work on the slides and I oversee that ministry. So that's a little bit about what I do here at the church. I brought some samples today. I'll go through these in just a few minutes, but we're just going to jump right into this. Today's lesson actually could be taught in two different parts. So I'm going to try to cram both parts into one lesson. I'm going to go quickly at the very end. We'll have a question-answer time. I saw a few people in here I know. I warned them, don't ask me any hard questions. we'll just jump right into this. I'm going to start with management software, and this is kind of where it begins for me. Also, I want to say in your notes, if you've noticed, unlike many of the notes you've been taking this week, I don't have blanks, and the reason for that is because of the amount of material I want to cover with you today, and so I wanted you to have that, not have to worry about the blanks. If you just listen and write what you think is applicable to you. I know everyone in here is at a different level. Some of you are already designers. You do well at it. You just want to get better. Some of you, it's new. It was hard for you to even to come to this class because it was a little over your head, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm going to be as simple as I can. That's the title of today's lesson, Making It Simple. And so just bear with me. I'm going to go through the process as if somebody were to begin working in our church as a graphic designer, what I would tell them, the principles. I would say, here's how to follow the guidelines to make good print materials. So I begin with management software. There's three managing softwares that I use that I love. One of them is, hopefully you can see this. I'll move out of the way a little bit. Kind of attached with his microphone. One of them is Evernote, and that is also for Mac and PC. Now today, as you see, I'm running this with a Mac. That is my preference. And if you don't have a Mac, these programs are able to be purchased on a PC. And so you're not tied down to a Mac. Don't feel Mac has done a wonderful job at marketing their product. It's associated sometimes with coolness. But beyond that, it is a great computer, and I think it really does the best job of design. PCs oftentimes do not have the best color calibration. Macs just do a superb job at it. I've been working with Macs ever since I started doing design. I've just been very pleased with them. Here's one of the programs I use, Evernote for Mac and PC. The other one is Things, and the third one is Bento. This one is a personal management software. It's free. That's the great news. This one's not free. Things is how I keep track of a lot of the personal projects I have. And then Bento is a master list. In this church ministry, we support three specific ministries, church, school, and college. We do a estimated amount of projects, I think over 400 projects a year just for all three of those. And so a lot of projects, and that's not including just something as small as a business card. These are big projects that we have to help, from book covers to layouts of magazines, you name it. And Bento really helps us with that. It's a great managing software system. Speaking specifically of Evernote, this is my personal Evernote right here. I also use it. We collaborate as a team, and I can throw projects in there. You can check off projects. You can have a shared project list, as I do right here. And here was one some time ago. I had a 25th anniversary media projects list, and I was able to get this on my phone, my iPad, computer. It's free. It interconnects. You can share with other people, and you can have a project task managing list. And so I would say if you have a very tight budget, this is probably the best way to get around that, in the sense of it does very well at managing some projects. That's Evernote. Quickly, the next one is Things. This one is just primarily for my personal use. I don't share this with other people, but these are projects I'm working on at any given time. Bento, I talked to you about that. That's what the software database looks like. And here are just some of the projects: Still Church, College Design, University Track. We can type notes inside this. When somebody says, I need a project, and here's the information for it, we can plug this in. Everyone on our design team has access to that, and that is Bento. So when it comes to design software, these are primarily the programs I use. This is the Adobe Design Suite, and if you're familiar with that, you can go on the Adobe website and purchase that. These are the programs I use, just to break them down for you. Again, they're for Mac and PC. InDesign is definitely the workhorse of what I do. InDesign is page layout. And I love it. It's like PageMaker. Some people use Quark. Many different ones out there. InDesign, by far, I feel, is just the most superior one. And if you're at the point where you need to decide which one to purchase, I'd highly recommend InDesign. There's a shot of it right there, picture of the anniversary book. Just does a great job. I'll show you in a second. Photoshop. Photoshop was not designed to do what InDesign is designed to do. Photoshop cannot support multiple pages. It's not designed for that. InDesign just does a great job at that. Photoshop, again, is for photo enhancement, such as the slide you saw this morning. That's where you, just like Woodshop, that's where you go to town, working on the pictures, enhancing, cutting things out, and then you save it and import it into InDesign, and that's kind of how the process works. Quickly going through the rest of the programs, in the Adobe Suite, Illustrator is another one. It supports vector and other artwork. Here's an example right here. As you saw the seating chart up around campus, that would take forever to do in Photoshop, as well as InDesign. It's just lines. There's nothing fancy about it. You don't need Photoshop. Illustrator, this is where it just really shines. It does a great job. And then there's Bridge. Many of you probably have Bridge. You're not familiar with it. You've never used it. I love Bridge. It's a photo management system. Here's a kind of a screenshot of it. As you can imagine, we have a lot of pictures from this ministry that we've collected over the years, and so it's a great way to find those pictures quickly. You can tag them, you can star them, and just a great way to manage your photos. There's also Aperture, but this one comes in the Adobe Suite. Here's a picture right here. You can pull it open. You can work on pictures that are camera raw, and again, we use the picture in our bulletin. The other thing I love about Bridge is that if you've ever had a bunch of folders instead of going through each individual folder to see what is inside that folder, it just takes forever. This does a great job if you go to show subfolders. It takes everything out of these folders and puts it into one area where you can see all your photos at one time. And for that one feature, I love Bridge. It just does a great job. So you don't have to go through each individual folder to find out what Illustrator file is in what folder. Now, just to jump into the lesson, some of those terms I probably used might have been over some of our heads, so I'm going to go through as quickly and as intricately as I can, and we'll start first, why design? And we design, first of all, to communicate. I don't know how many of you have come home after a long day, and you go to the front door, or if you're like me, you probably don't go to the front door, you go in through the garage, but you go to the front door and you see that pizza advertisement stuck inside the door, and it looks like a piece of pizza. Have you ever seen that one? And it sometimes has a bite taken out of it, and you see that, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, honey, we need to get a pizza tonight. And it just does a great job at advertising. And when it comes to the church, I think we ought to do just as good of a job of, I don't want to say marketing necessarily, but at displaying what we want, the information we want to get across effectively. And if Pizza Hut can do it, well, surely the church can too. And so we design to communicate. Here's some principles of basic layout. The goal of any printed piece, number one, is to get somebody's attention. Let's just be honest about it. You don't want to go through the time and expense of printing something, and nobody wants to look at it. It's distasteful. It's boring. You want to get somebody's attention with it. So that's the number one goal. Number two, you want to guide your reader through specific information. There's something that you want to give to somebody, and you want them to get the information, whether it's inviting them to a Easter celebration. You want to captivate their attention, and then you want on the back to guide your reader through the specific information. In this case, you want to tell them there's a service, here's what time it is, here's where it's at. Next, before you start designing, focus clearly and define your purpose and goals. You've got to decide what is this for. Before you start designing, understand the information inspiration split. Just to give you an example of that, right here last night you saw this slide up on the screen. That definitely is an inspirational shot. It's not informational. It's just there to, as it did last night, convey some imagery that you want to get across. That would be inspirational. This right here is informational, where you have informational brochures, where this one right here would pretty much be a inspirational shot. It's not very informative. It does have the plan of salvation. It does have service times, but it's more inspirational. This one right here is a life stage brochure, and it talks about, it has maps, all kinds of information. It's not a very inspirational brochure versus something like this. This right here, and I brought this with me when we had our dinner series where we built a brand new, we were working on the new West Wing Tower, and we wanted to convey that picture right there, how it was going to help our church. We pulled out a brochure like this, and we put a lot of time and energy into thinking it through. It's a very inspirational brochure. It's not very super informative. It doesn't talk too detailed. It just talks simply about what's coming up. And as you can see, it's just pictures, primarily pictures, with a few captions. And so that is more inspirational. Again, large pictures, very little text. Before you start designing, look for a creative way to get somebody's attention. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Here's one way to do it. This is a newsletter that I designed, I think, back in 2009. And you'd be shocked the response people gave us with this right here. People loved it. And it turned a lot of heads. Got a lot of people that responded with that. And it just was creative. It grabbed somebody's attention. Some people even said, man, it looked like a movie. Now, that's not what I was going for. But in many cases, oftentimes the movie posters are designed to do just that, get you to turn your head and look at it, and that's what it did right there for a lot of people. Another image right here, we did a musical for our Easter musical, and that image right there, I worked on it, and again, it turns people's heads. You've got to give that creative eye to it. Before you start designing, get ideas from everywhere, especially things that caught your attention. And so if you ever see something that comes across in your mail, and I get so many things, not just from secular mail, but also from Christian mail. If it looks good, I'll keep that, file it, maybe use it later. And this is, again, where Evernote comes in. That's why I wanted to bring Evernote up. I have a folder right in Evernote called Graphic Ideas. And everything I see that I think, and that's a really cool idea, I throw it in there. And what's really cool about Evernote is that it has search, it has the text recognition, and it can find, you can tag it, and it just does a great job. I think this is a menu I saw, and I thought, man, that looked really neat. I like the idea, so I threw it in there. And again, if I'm looking for graphic ideas, I can pull that folder in, open. I also have one called Book Cover Ideas, all kinds of different ones, music, projects, receipts, notes, resources. And this file just keeps growing. It's just a great tool. And if you ever want to look up Evernote, I think evernote.com, you can watch the tutorial video, and it can show you even more uses of this specific program. Before you start designing, be mindful of who you are trying to reach. Again, is it a single person? Is it a more mature couple, a married couple? That's very important. For instance, is it a VBS brochure? It's going to be designed a little bit different than you would design a newspaper ad, such as what we just did a few days ago. It has a little bit of a different feel. I think you understand that. Here's one of our newsletters that we put out this summer. And again, we're reaching several different audiences with this brochure right here, and I brought that with me. It's just a two-page brochure, or one, I should say one piece, folds in half. The front, we have a very inspirational cover. The back, of course, we leave room for the mailing. And the inside, I cover just about every age group in these two pages. Believe me, that's hard to do without making it look cluttered. But if you notice, very bright colors. And the information is evenly distributed, but it also touches just about to every single mom's. We have something for kids, men, ladies, you name it, it's on there. And so you want to keep your audience in mind. And then printing options, speaking printer talk. And as you talk to printers, I know when I first got into this, they would use terms I just did not quite understand. And so let's get into that just a little bit. Let's talk about paper. There's different paper classifications, and one of those classifications is weight. And they judge weight by ream, and you'll hear 60 pounds, 70 pounds. I'm going to pass these around right here just to give you an idea. A lot of different stuff. In fact, I'll pass this around just a second. Let me show you this right here, paper classifications. On top of weight, you have category or grade. By that, you have text, or book, or cover. And so I'm going to pass these around. You can look at them. And what I've done is I've just written on here what exactly this material is. This right here is considered book or text. It's very thin, but that means it's also very inexpensive. It doesn't have the weight as this one right here has. This is cover stock. This also is the same type newsletter. We did not mail this one, but you could have mailed it. I just wanted, we filled up the back and I think we handed it out. But very thin, very thick, cover stock, text book. Let you guys pass that around. Those are the different grades. And then on top of that, we have paper classifications. There's coating, uncoated. Here's a perfect example. This is coated, shiny on the outside, very dull on the inside. Now that I think was by accident, but there is an example of coated and uncoated. And again, if you're going for a certain effect, sometimes on the on banners you'll see around our campus, if there's going to be a banner that's hanging inside of a church where a lot of lights are going to be hitting it, I want to make sure that banner is matte instead of the high gloss. Because if you've ever seen a banner that has lights on it, it just gives that terrible glare, and I hate that glare. I want that nice, soft, absorbent feel coming off that matte finish. And so it's the same with print as it is really in printing of banners. But there's coated and uncoated, and then there's also gloss. So I'll pass that around. This is matte right here, and this is gloss. And if you look at even the matte, it still has a little bit of a shine, but that's from the UV coating. That's also from the ink. A heavy ink source like that's going to give it a little bit of a shine no matter what. But this actually has a gloss on it. And I just wanted to get you to see that and kind of get a feel for it. We can let those go all sort of across the room. But those are paper classifications. And then Matt, I just spoke about color options. I want to explain some of this to you. And I know when I first got this, it really made sense to me. But there are different color options out there. You've often heard one color, two color. And then maybe you've heard of four color or full color. And sometimes printers will ask you, do you want it to be one color, two color, four color, or full color? And you have to kind of give them an answer. Spot color is basically defined by one color, two color. Process color means you use all four colors, which is CMYK. Now, there's also RGB color. RGB is what you use on your computer. I always work in RGB. When I'm working, automatically you're working in RGB. But RGB is different than CMYK. CMYK is paper. You cannot have a white ink. And so, therefore, it's different than an actual computer. But you always work in RGB, but you always send to the printer in CMYK. Sometimes you'll send something to your printer, and they'll say, this is not CMYK. And you'll have to convert it. I'm going to show you there's also a way around that where you can quickly convert things to CMYK. But I wanted you to understand that there's a difference between one color. That's just something that's black and white, like a newspaper. Then there's two color, where it's maybe black and blue. And then there's four color, which is just any color you can imagine. Again, everything I'm passing around today is full color. Years ago, when I first started, we used just about everything was two color because it was cheaper. Nowadays, with gang running and the competitiveness of printers, we don't do anything two color just anymore, just because it's just as cheap to do four color as it is two color. But I wanted to share that option with you, that especially when you hit certain runs, anything pretty much over 1,000, four color is going to be your best option just about every time. Here's an example of two color, which is blue and gold. And the way you would send it to a printer is you would send them black and say, this is the color I want it to be, and you give them a spot color. I want it to be this color, and some of you might have a color book where the printer could help you with that. And then you could say, I want the other color to be this gold color, this to be blue, this to be gold. They put it together, they run it through the printer twice, and it comes out this way. CMYK is different, where you have just every color. And again, you have to run that through the printer four times. That's usually why it's more expensive, but there you have your CMYK. So, principles of print pricing. Just to give you an example, again, if it's just one color, two color, it only goes through the printer one time. If it's one color, if it's two color, it goes through the printer twice. If it's four color, you know, it's going to go through four times. And there are two sets of printers. There's a web set printer, and then there's a sheet fed. Web set is kind of like it sounds, just a huge roll of paper. They just run that thing through, and it does really well at high quantities. The Baptist Voice, up until this issue right here, was run on a web set printer. We just print sometimes 70,000, 80,000, and we just run that thing through, and it's very cheap. And the printer we used just did a great job. However, on this last issue, one of our printers, which we've used for a long time, said, hey, I've got a sheet-fed press that we want to try out. It gave us a great competitive price. And, of course, sheet-fed is run on large sheets, and it looks a lot better. The registration is so much better, and so the line screen is much better than a web-set press. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And sure enough, when I got this back, I could tell the difference. Maybe the average person probably couldn't tell, but if you look at it carefully, they did a great job. And so if you want to go through that sheet-fed printer, and primarily if you're doing smaller quantities, 10,000, 13,000, sheet-fed is usually okay. Anything over that, you want to go with web-set. Usually your printer will help you with that. Gang-run printers, sometimes people are confused about what that is. That's not quite how it sounds. All gang-run printers is a printer that runs multiple jobs for multiple clients simultaneously. Here's an example right here. If I'm going to print a postcard for the Alaska Cruise, typically what they would do is they would put it, again, on a web-set press. They would just put all these together on a huge roll of paper. They would just run that through a machine. If you can imagine the roll being right here, they would cut your job, trim it, it's done. With gang running, they take your job and they put it with everybody else's job. And then they just run it through. That's why some of you have heard of got print, overnight prints. They gang run your print item. They throw your job on there with somebody else's. And sometimes, on a rare occasion, you'll see maybe on the bleed, somebody else's job showed up. Not always the case. In fact, I think they've gotten better. But some of the reasons they do that is, and here's some of the limitations. First of all, you're stuck with a lot of standard sizes. If you've gone to GotPrint, They give you the options. Do you want to do 6x9? And you'll notice some of the prices are cheaper than others. Usually a certain size, 4x6, very popular size, a postcard size. And in fact, my wife and I did our Christmas card, I think through overnight, one of those companies, and they had a deal at Christmas, you get 100 for free, and all you do is pay for shipping. I think it was $4. It worked out great. And but again, it's standard sizes. You're locked into limited quantity options, limited paper stock options, and you notice on GotPrint that you're really stuck with two options, and then limited finishing options. And so that's some of the pros and cons of gang running. It's cheaper, but you're locked in. If you need something specific, it can't always be as competitive with that. Bleeds. What are bleeds? Just about everything I passed around today had a bleed. Bleed just simply means that this right here just runs all the way to the edge. And if you've ever designed something without a bleed and you get it back from the printer, you're going to see that white on it that you don't want. And so that right there is what it would look like with a bleed. You always want to create the image with a little bit of overrun, so when they go to cut that and trim it off, I usually do 0.125 as your typical standard bleed all the way around, and that's pretty much enough. That's all that printers need, and you always want to create something with a bleed. Now, if you don't have a bleed and you're running it on a copier at church, shrink that in, give it some white space around the edges. Exporting for print. Just to walk through the process, this is ready to go to print. How do you export it? Again, we're in InDesign. I just simply go up to File, Export. Comes up right here with this option to make it a PDF. And by the way, that's how we send our projects to print. I don't convert them to JPEG or TIFF. JPEG and TIFF are terrible for text. You always want to use a PDF. That's just pretty much the standard. I know I've dealt with printers in the past that will ask for a JPEG or TIFF. I kind of wonder what century they're living in. It's just, this is the standard. You want to pretty much stick with PDF. They have different presets, and you can create your own. The standard one is X1A. That's for four color. And then I usually, on this right here, what do you want it to be compatible with? I do Adobe. You can barely see it there, but it's highlighted, Adobe 6. And I'm told, I read a little bit about this, if you do Adobe 6, and you have RGB pictures placed in your document, it converts those when you export to CMYK. And so you don't have to go through the process of opening up each picture, converting it to CMYK in Photoshop. You can just export that. Next option right here is you want to make sure that you check your crop marks are checked, and then use document bleed setting. When I open a document, I can automatically do a bleed, or if not, you can uncheck that and then just type in whatever your bleed is, which, again, is 0.125. And then you're set. Also, sometimes you'll send something to the printer, and they'll say, we don't have these fonts, this PDF. It's not printing right. And again, maybe it's just certain printers that have that issue. The majority of the big ones, they can figure it out. But if they can't, one of the ways you can get around that is if you go up to Type, and there's an option right here called Create Outlines. That's a great little tool. I'll warn you, though, that once you hit that and you have any text selected, what it does is it makes a vector out of your text. So you cannot edit it anymore. It no longer becomes pixels. It's now line art. So if you want to save an extra copy. But then once you do that, what I'll do is, if that's a problem, and I've had very rare occasions where people will have that problem, I'll convert it to outlines, export it, and then undo what I just did. And that usually always fixes the problem. Sometimes some of you will get a cheap font, maybe there's a copyright issue with it, and you'll put that in there, and that's usually what causes the problem. It's usually a font issue. Also, when you get a proof of a project, you always want to check. One of the main things I always check when I get a proof, and you can opt for a proof or not, and if you do it online, I think they give you an option, but if you deal with a local printer, they'll give you a proof. I always look for transparency issues, especially with shadows. Sometimes it creates a box around that. You want to watch for things like that. Just make sure your bleeds are good, and that's pretty much you also want to look for color, make sure it looks correct. Let's talk about proof colors. Again, I said I always work in RGB. And just to give you an idea of that, if you go up to View in InDesign, you can see proof colors. If you hit that right there, it's going to show you what it's actually going to look like when it prints. Now, it's going to be hard to see on the screen, but if you just kind of stare at these pictures, especially the flag one, the reds and the blues I'd see over there. When I click proof colors, it's going to dull those. So you didn't see it, but just trust me, okay? So it just dulls them. And unfortunately, especially blues and reds, when I go to print CMYK, it looks great on the screen. And then as soon as I get it back from the printer, I think, it looks so dull. In fact, the anniversary book, I had this beautiful blue on the cover. If you know, the cover turned out to be black, but it was going to be blue. And when I printed it out on my printer, which I have a pretty decent laser printer, it just looked terrible. Blue just does not do a great job. It looks great on the screen. That's why we'll use it sometimes as the background for our song service. But that's terrible in print when you're converting. It always has that dull gray look. And so one of the ways you can know before you send it to print, hit that proof colors, and you'll say, oh, that's what it's going to look like. Before we begin design, we always ask, what is the purpose? What is the information, inspiration split? Who will receive it? What type of paper? How many colors? Can I gang run it? Does it bleed? So let's talk about design. Four tools of design. Number one, they're text, photos, illustrations, color. I'm going to fly through these here. Text. I love this prayer of blessing upon your text. May your words be few. May your words be necessary. And so many print projects out there just have way too much text. When I took over the Baptist Voice in 2007, one of my goals was to cut the text. And as you'll see in a moment, one of the points I have is people hate to read. Now, when you think a magazine, people like to read. But when it comes to reporting just facts, people like to get to the point. And I won't have time to get into that, but just trust me on that. I think you're probably the same. Text usage. Here's an example right here, one of the articles on the Baptist Voice. A headline is used to grab the attention and create interest. Of course, then you have the subheading used to clarify or expand the headline. Then you have the body text used for composition of articles and paragraphs. And then you have captions used to clarify the meaning of a photo. Three broad font categories. You have serifs. Sometimes you hear that kind of talk. Serif is where you have those little glyphs on the ends of the text. By the way, if you come to my PowerPoint session, I always warn against that. You don't want to use those because oftentimes at a distance, you can lose the serifs. If you ever notice a stop sign, any type of street sign, they don't use serifs. Stop sign does not have a serif font. It's a sans serif font, a font such as this. Because at far distances, you can read it. Now, when it comes to body text, we always use serif because it's easier to read. It's better on your eyes. But when you come to headlines, it's a great way to contrast something by using a sans serif font. And then we also have script fonts, which in this ministry, we're not as big of a fan, I know, with script fonts just because people sometimes have a hard time reading them. Now, I know the anniversary slides we're showing this week, kind of pushing the limits. But it's the 25th. So here's an example right here. Lancaster Baptist Church open house brochure that we had. This folded open. And I love those nice bold fonts. And notice immediately your eye was drawn to open house. And imagine if it was like that. It just looks disgusting. So many different fonts. Type terms. There's measurement. Point is just 72 points per inch. And by the way, text, that's how they determine it. It's not pixels. It goes by, basically, it's mathematical. Letting, the space between the baseline, simply you can spread the letting out or you can shrink it in. That's letting. Kerning is the space between letters. And I'm going to say you never want to take lowercase. Sometimes we spread letters out. And I think I've done that on the slides, but I always capitalize them. You never want to space out lowercase letters. It's a design no-no. In this case right here, again, you could space out these this text right here on the bottom. But again, if it's all caps, it's okay. Now, you don't want to read a body of text of all caps. Nobody wants to do that. And that's why it's different. But you can spread it out when it is a headline. Comes to photos, principles for using photos. Use quality photos that you can purchase. And again, there's so many sources. iStock, Shutterstock, Fotolia. iStock I used for years. Then they became a little pricey. So I went to Fotolia, found out they have the same images, only cheaper. And Shutterstock is a little more pricey, but boy, do they have a great selection. iStock, I think, has a great way to find photos. I mean, just you can find exactly what you're looking for quickly. Shutterstock is a little weak on that. They have just two options. cool or not cool, something really lame like that. And I don't like their search engine, but their photos are amazing. And most of the photos that I've used for covers on the Baptist Voice, they're Shutterstock photos. And there are many more websites. These are just a few of them. Resolution, what is that? If you've ever, you've got to make sure that that's the number of pixels that create an image. Here's an image right here, a high-quality image. But again, if you see there, you can zoom in and you saw those individual pixels. Standard print resolution is 300 pixels per inch. That just simply means, if you don't understand that, if you were to take an inch, and that inch is 300, or supposed to be 300 pixels. And I think this screen you're looking at right now is 72. So right here, this would be considered a bitmap graphic. As you stretch it, you see more pixels. You've often heard bitmap graphics formed and stored by pixels used for photo-style graphics. Then there's vector graphics made of mathematical defined curves and lines. You've seen this before. And here's an example of a bitmap graphic and a vector graphic. Did you see the difference? There is none when they're that small. When you blow them up, you see the pixels on the edge. Vector, you don't see the pixels. And so when we do something very large for a banner, you want to use vector art, because you can just stretch vector forever and it's not going to. If you have a picture, sometimes a big no-no is taking a picture that's this big, trying to make it this big. We've all tried to do that. It's going to look terrible. Here again is vector. What's great about vector image is that you can separate items. It's just made up of a combination of layers and then also gradients. And it looks great, but here's some of the pros and cons. Vector graphics, smaller file size, bitmap larger. You can scale them. Bitmaps, they're limited. It's less realistic, looks a little fake. And again, bitmap is the real deal. Color, making design decisions for design scenarios that I want to go through here. We're just going to look at these four. So when it comes to color, we mentioned teen rollerblading activity. This right here, these colors right here are very energetic. You've probably seen them on Gatorade. This would be more apt for a teen rollerblade activity. This is more for the financial seminar flyer. Very cool, calm. You don't want to use red for financial, I'm told. So. This right here for Men and Boys Campout activity flyer. Notice the earthen tones. You have to keep that in mind when you are using color. And then this one would be our Ladies Luncheon Fellowship. Very, I would not wear a tie necessarily with colors like that. And type. So now that we've established kind of how what colors go with what event, what type goes with each event. Notice right here the edgy font. It's very hip, trendy, modern. Goes well with a teen event. Here's one right here. Goes well with a financial seminar. Just kind of what numbers would look like. Minion font. Earthen tones, we use that high impact font, just kind of screams at you. And then for the ladies, there they've got their Zaffino font and the real frilly font. Shapes and strokes. Shapes like this, again, very edgy. It goes along with the font. Here we have the flowing of the font there with Minion. Impact, again, we use just hard edges. And with the ladies, we use very ornamental things. Photos and artwork. Again, we're just building this. Goes along with a picture like that. You saw some of the same shapes in that picture. Again, very smooth edges, such as in this picture of the water. And then right here, goes well with the rugged feel. And then for the ladies, an image like that. And then if you apply your elements, notice how everything really fits together. The edges fit well, the color is energetic. Very high octane. Financial seminar, same thing. Has that same cool feel, very simplistic. Men and Boys Camp Out, we're using those same colors, same fonts. And then for the ladies, has those same curves, very flowy, effeminate. Four basic design principles, and these are in your notes, and I put this at the very end so that if we do run out of time, you have that with you. Proximity. Proximity simply means the grouping of related items in this simple newsletter right here. Notice 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're all grouped together. They're all within proximity. Nothing over in four relates to number one. They are very close. And make sure when you do a bulletin that you're keeping those things together. Keep teen items with teen items and adult items with adult items. When it comes to alignment, this is very important, is the visual connection of items on a page. Notice these invisible lines. Your eye has to dart in several different directions just to read a simple business card such as this. When it comes to alignment, look how there's just one nice, clean edge. You just took all that information and kept it together. By the way, these four basic design principles are huge. I tell people if you can learn these four and implement them, you'll be a decent designer. And then repetition. Repetition is just the familiar elements on a page. And I pick the Baptist Voice, for example. Notice we've got this ribbon going throughout the Baptist Voice when it comes to the articles. Notice I'm using the same fonts and colors. Same thing. Continues on the next page with the ladies' article as well. Has its same type of ribbon. When we go to Brother Schmidt's article, same colors, same fonts, same ribbon. That is what we call repetition. And it just has that same feel, and you're carrying it throughout the brochure. They never felt like they left a certain idea that you're trying to convey. And then we have contrast when two or more elements are different. Here's a great way. This font contrasts with this font. It's a great way. Also, the background contrasts with the text. It's very contrasty. And contrast, I love contrast. Out of these four, that would be my favorite one because that's really just what makes it pop. You could take a nice, even with a Word document where all you have is just, if you're just doing a resume, you can have a nice bold serif font with a sans serif font. Looks very clean. And I also use colors to break things up. If I were to do this different, I'd maybe make this a different color. And automatically, if I made that logo a different color, it would invisibly create a visual break between this paragraph and this information down here just by changing the color. That's what we call contrast. Here's another example of contrast. Just by taking the color of that text right there, it visually separates it from everything else. Then you have the contrast of shading, grunge, so forth. Design essentials. Limit your fonts to two per piece or else it will look like a ransom note. White space is good as long as it is not trapped. And so when you design a brochure, try to keep in mind that you always want to use just two fonts. And if you notice, many of the brochures that I passed around today, it was just limited to two fonts. The more fonts you use, and we'll see in a second, it can be a bad thing. White space is good, again, as long as it's not trapped. Look at this right here. Notice how that there is white space in there, and it's trapped, unlike this. The white space, I mean, imagine Pac-Man. He can get out, okay? And if he's going around there trying to eat the cheese or whatever, he can easily get out. That is, never try to just fill space. And again, white space is good. It grabs somebody's attention. And the typical person who is amateur at design will just say, well, this is blank. Let's fill it with something, and it will ruin your design. White space is good. It's not a bad thing to have a lot of white space and then text off to the side. That's good. Simple is good. People do not like to read. And again, on our tracks, we just put very essential information. We don't go on and on in our tracks about our ministry and our child care. We just give them the simple information. Same thing on the inside of this track. This is a trifold track. And by the way, we have moved away from doing tracks like this. We no longer do trifold brochures. Now we're doing these 5.5 by 8.5 postcards. They're very inexpensive. And the great reason we like these is because you could print smaller quantities and then you could switch them up easier. And so you're not stuck with the same track forever and ever because you printed so many because it was cheaper. This, as Pastor does new themes, we can throw a different theme on this. And then when we're done, they were so cheap. If we have some left over, it's not as bad as if we were left with brochures like this. Do not use boxes to separate items. Ooh, that's a no-no. If you wanted to separate these, just make that top line bold and leave the bottom line the way it is, and it automatically separates them. Keep artwork and photos in proportion. This is one of my pet peeves. People will stretch things, and you can, when you click down at that corner of that picture, usually there's some buttons you can push. I know they're different on a PC and a Mac, but you can hold that shift key and just keep that in proportion. Sometimes people will take our 25th logo and instead of a nice round circle, it's like this egg-shaped oval, and that is just against the rules. You do not have to use words to communicate everything that needs to be communicated. And when designing an advertisement for an event, you don't have to list every single detail. For instance, in a brochure, we don't have every single detail on there. Just give them the information they need. Don't use words that are unnecessary, that insult your reader's intelligence, such as join us, don't miss. We've all done it. Those are cliche words. Join us, don't miss. And we use those over and over. And if you're not careful, count how many times you see them in your bulletin. And it really just becomes overused. Take a minute, think about what you want to say, and try to avoid words like that. Think of a creative way to draw someone's attention. I like what one guy did this for a brochure, Lunch on Us, anything you can find. Know your grammar and composition. It's one thing to have a bad design and people think, yeah, they don't really know what they're doing, and they can kind of forgive you. But if you just don't spell something right, you just look stupid, okay? So you want to make sure that's everyone can do good at that. Be mindful of who you are trying to reach. Create constants within a document that give uniformity. And I want to close with this example, and then we're done. If we were to have a Sunday called Paperclip Sunday, we're going to take all these principles we've learned and create a brochure. Everybody that comes to Paperclip Sunday gets a paperclip, okay? I know this is kind of a hokey illustration, but this will show exactly what we're talking about. Here it is. What I like to do is I like to throw all the information on a page that I can. And believe it or not, I just sketch things out. When I create the Baptist Voice, it's 32 pages, sometimes a little more. I like to just scratch it out on a piece of paper. And it just helps me visually to see, okay, this goes here, and then I can move this here. It just helps me. I'm a very visual guy. I need to see it, and I'll give it to the team I'm working with, and it helps them see, oh, that's what he's thinking. And I'll draw as quickly as I can. But here's an example right here. If you notice, look how many different fonts there are on this one brochure. Remember, two-font rule? Okay, now we're just down to two fonts. Proximity. Notice how everything is just everywhere. So let's put the information, content, at least the contact information together. That helps. Now let's use alignment. By the way, center alignment is the weakest alignment. Try to avoid that as much as possible. It's okay for formal invitations such and other such things. But you want to give it a nice alignment, nice hard edge. See, there's many different lines running here. Notice very simple lines all going the same direction. Contrast. And very plain. And so we just give it some color. And it was really pretty simple. And just pretty amazing how something contrast, like I said, that's my favorite one. You just throw in some colors, and you throw in a nice big font. See how this font is very contrasty from this font right here. And that's why I like to use the body text as a nice serif font, and then the sans serif font as the header.